Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
Final hour of the show on KMOX, Amy Markscores and Chris Ranji. And right now we welcome in the president of the Puerto Rican Society, Maria Rosario. As you may have heard the story recently of a Missouri woman from St. Peter's, actually, who committed arson.
Yes, in a drunken rage and moment of idiocy and selfishness, burned down a bar slash hotel in Puerto Rico.
Well, that doofus is still in jail right now, from what I understand. And that was ruled earlier this week.
That was the official ruling.
In custody until the trial starts.
Yeah.
So that happened. But the Puerto Rican Society here in St. Louis, along with Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez, who has been on the show a number of times, they're doing a fundraiser for Luigi's Seaside Hotel, and Maria Rosario is with us now. We appreciate you coming in, Maria.
Oh, thank you for the invite. I mean, it's not every day we get invited to the radio to talk and be with you guys, so we're excited to be here.
On KMOX, no less.
On KMOX, the voice of St. Louis.
That's right.
So as Ranji mentioned, I just want to set the stage here, too. You're president of the Puerto Rican Society here in St. Louis. Are you guys your own entity, or are you a chapter of a larger group?
We are our own entity here in St. Louis. We're a 501c3. We've been around for 30 years. So the Puerto Rican community has been very active and very vocal in St. Louis for the last 30 years. There are other organizations similar to us in other cities, states. Kansas City has their own chapter, their own Puerto Rican society over there. I think Tennessee, Nashville, Chicago, obviously, they have their whole Puerto Rico Cultural Center. But yes, there's a lot of us all over the country. And a lot of us in our own cities and our own states have decided to come together and create organizations like this to just help build community outside of Puerto Rico. I have a little phrase I like to use all the time. Somos tu familia extendida, we're your extended family. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, when they move here to St. Louis from Puerto Rico, the first thing they're trying to find is, where can I buy Puerto Rican food? Where can I buy the ingredients to make food? Or where can I go and hear live music or stuff like that? And we're kind of that vehicle to help them find what they need for them to feel comfortable and like they have their family here.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say they're going to look, where do I find the beach? Because that would be hard to give up.
Oh, yes.
It's beautiful in Puerto Rico. The beaches are beautiful. So
nothing like a river beach.
The Mississippi River is not quite.
Just a disgusting river beach.
We have the arch.
Yeah, it's nice. It's
don't poo-poo the city.
I'm not poo-pooing the city. I love the arch. Just a little different than a beach. So
it is different than the beach, which is gorgeous.
At Salsa Rosada, this is where the fundraiser is going to happen this Sunday, and it starts at noon. Tell us about what's going to go on there.
Yeah, so basically, after this incident happened, a lot of Puerto Ricans started coming up to us like, what can we do? How can we help? How can we support? And with the help of Alderwoman Daniela Velasquez, we came up with, hey, let's do a fundraiser. Let's find a place that'll host all of these loud, friendly Hispanic and Latinos here in St. Louis. So we partnered with Salsa Rosada. Mandy, she's also the owner of Mayo Ketchup, which is one of the few places where you can actually go and have some Puerto Rican food here in St. Louis. She's been a strong supporter of us. She said, sure, my doors are open. Come here. So basically what we're going to do is we're going to have some DJ Big Papa G. I'm not sure if you've heard of him. He's a Puerto Rican. He's a New Rican. We love him. He's part of our board. Volunteered his time and his talent to help kind of just set the tone and the mood. Obviously, we're going to be listening to some Bad Bunny. If you don't know who he is, then please do a quick Google search. He's been trending for the last couple of weeks thanks to his newest album that really highlights how a lot of Puerto Ricans in the United States kind of feel, and that's wanting and that yearning of being able to go back and, you know, be with our people and be able to take advantage of our culture. We'll be playing a little short film that he created along with his CD. We'll also have some auction items. We've had some amazing people donate items to help raise some additional money. We have a donation from the Missouri Athletic Club, from Polo Ascenso. He's one of the Spanish broadcasters.
Polo's our guy.
He is our guy.
Yeah,
he
comes into the studio and you just step back. You can go take a smoke break or something while he takes over.
You understand that when he gets there, he's just going to not stop talking. You do realize this.
And then another wonderful news that we have is, you know, besides just, you know, camaraderie, being together, we'll have a nice brief message from the owner of Luigi's Seaside Hotel. People will be able to put a face to, like, you know, the person who's behind the rebuilding and the reconstruction of the hotel. And then something I'm actually excited to share here first, openly with the public, is we received an anonymous donor who is willing to match the money we raise up to 10K.
Oh, wow.
So, St. Louis, awesome. Please show up.
Wow,
please
St.
support,
Louis.
Because if we're able to reach 10K, we get an extra 10K, and that's 20K we're able to donate to Luigi's and help them with their whole rebuilding of the hotel, which they're in the process of, and it's like almost $500,000, I believe, was the last number I received. So it's a lot of money to rebuild.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing. When something like this happens, obviously, it hits so close to home for the Puerto Rican community here in St. Louis. I think Missouri as a whole, in addition to it being a horrific crime, it's also embarrassing for Missouri.
Exactly.
Like, it's embarrassing. That was my first thought, is like, because that is something that makes national news, and then you're like, oh my gosh, we're Missouri, and people are like, oh, that's where that lady was from. And so to counteract the fact that it was also crime and devastating, but to counteract the embarrassment, say we're better than this.
Oh yeah, so
like, this lady from
St.
Peter's is not who we are.
Yeah, no, and that's kind of one of the reasons why we wanted to put together this event, to kind of demonstrate that, hey, there is a Puerto Rican community here.
In case
you did not know, there's a Puerto Rican community here, and there's a lot of Americans that also love Puerto Rico, and a lot of other people who live here in St. Louis, a lot of Latinos that have visited Puerto Rico, whether for pleasure, for work, and have fallen in love with the island as well. And we just kind of want to demonstrate to the world, like, hey, yeah, you know, this was one, you know, accident on its own. That's not how the rest of us feel. There's people here who want to support our island, support our people. So, you know, we're giving them an opportunity to show up and be there with us.
So you do have direct contact with the owners of the hotel?
Yes, we do. One of our board members, Hector Vega, he's been working day and night since the incident happened, communicating with Angel Marrero. He's the owner. He's actually helped him get access to other news channels to do interviews and be able to share resources, like, so people over here can learn more and report properly on the incident and what's going on. So we've been working with them and trying to help as much as possible.
Do you know, and maybe you do, maybe you don't, but them having to rebuild, do they have to just pay for this out of pocket completely on their own? Are they counting on donations? Was there any other means of them getting funding to rebuild?
So I don't know all of those juicy details. I do know, obviously, they had insurance, but insurance, just like everything else,
doesn't cover everything.
You get into a car accident, insurance only covers one part of the repairs, so it's kind of like the same scenario. The insurance doesn't necessarily cover everything that was damaged and that needs to be rebuilt, which is why, you know, all of these donations that are coming in are really key to the success of Luigi's being able to come back into operation.
And that event this Sunday, February 2nd at Salsa Rosada in St. Louis, it's a $45 donation basically to get in, which gets you one margarita to start off, appetizers while supplies last, as you mentioned, music by Big Papa G. There will also be, it seemed like a presentation of like stories
As well. So we have people from Puerto Rico, Cabo Rojo, recording some videos that we can present. We're going to have this big, like, I think, 80-inch TV to present all of the videos. And then besides that, we'll also have that silent auction going on with some. Right now, we only have three items, but more being added on a daily basis. And basically, it's just an opportunity for us to connect. I know our community is going through a lot right now, so this is just an opportunity to create a safe space for people to gather and people to just kind of do something positive and try to aim for something happy.
Yes, no, absolutely. And you guys picked a great weekend because there's no football.
Yeah,
very smart with the timing.
It's going to be like 63 degrees on Sunday.
Yeah. Even better. I mean, it's not beach weather, but we'll take it.
dirty Missouri River beach weather.
Okay. So we don't have the beaches. We got
beaches.
We have
They're
a
just
free
gross.
Zoo.
We do have a free zoo.
And it is a very nice
it
zoo.
Is. So, it is.
You know, before you leave, Maria, you have to say this is the best zoo in the world.
It is. Honestly, I've been to a lot of zoos. Every time I try to visit other cities, other states, I try to visit the zoos. And honestly, St. Louis is on the top.
It's up there. Yeah.
How do people donate and or get tickets for Sunday's event, which starts at noon?
Can you just show up and get tickets?
Yeah, you can also show up.
I mean,
honestly, the online tickets is just to kind of help us know if we need to get more appetizers or, like, you know, do we need to get more drinks, or, you know, for us to be able to prepare and for the logistics of the event. But yes, you can show up the day of the event, make a donation at the door. Yes, we have a strong suggestion of $45, but it's just us doing math in the background and making sure we at least hit the 5K goal that we had initially, but now we're raising it to 10K.
Yeah, now that you have the match.
Exactly.
Right,
now that we have the match.
Take advantage of that.
But you can also just donate online. You can find us on social media, SPR St. Louis, our website as well, sprstlouis.com. You'll find information on the event, the link to register, the link to donate. Today in the afternoon, the link for the silent auction will be going up as well. So for that, you don't necessarily have to be at the event. But yes, no donation is too small or too big. Even if it's a dollar, hey, we'll take it. We're just trying to really put a positive twist to what happened, trying to create community, let people know that we are here to support our Puerto Ricans, not just here in St. Louis, but also in Puerto Rico. And yeah, we just want everyone to be there. So please show up.
All the information about the event, SPRSTLouis. Mm-hmm. So SPRSTLouis.com. Mm-hmm. There's an events tab. Click on the events tab and it's right there.
Yep.
So
awesome.
Maria Rosario, thank you for coming in.
And
good luck this weekend. It'll be a fun event.
Yes, it will. And I hope I see some of you there, please.
It'll be fun.
Salsa Rosada.
Yes.
Salsa Rosada, that is on Sunday. It will start at noon. Donation suggested of $45. Mm-hmm. Maria, thank you for coming in. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
It's Chris and Amy on KMOX. Oh, Amy. Amy just informed me of something. She's an alcoholic.
I'm afraid I'm an alcoholic. I don't know how much alcohol you need.
Hold on.
What?
Let me throw this out there just so people have an idea of what you think alcoholism is. Okay. So, Amy got a bottle of tequila.
Yes.
Before Christmas.
Yes.
Which is December 25th.
Yes. And I probably got it late November, early December.
Okay. So, you got almost 2 months ago, you got a bottle of tequila.
Yes.
She just finished the bottle. Last night. And she said, I think I might be an alcoholic.
There's something about finishing a bottle of tequila. It's the whole idea of finishing a bottle of alcohol.
Yeah, most people do it in 2 hours. You did it in 2 months.
But that was just by myself. You know what I mean? That's what's so. I'm so embarrassed. I drank that by myself. I feel so embarrassed.
What?
I feel like an alcoholic.
That is.
How much alcohol is alcoholism?
Look. I have often said that you are a gigantic spaz.
Yes.
There's just no way that you mean this. Are you serious? Or are you like...
I will say, because I've never finished a bottle of alcohol by myself before, that this being the first one, I don't know how long it's supposed to take people. And I did actually feel a little embarrassed that I was an alcoholic because I drank the entire bottle by myself.
Over a 2 month period.
But that doesn't weren't the only drinks I had.
Let me tell you what alcoholism is. Let me tell you what it is.
I'm someone who knows, okay?
I know a lot of alcoholics. Functioning, of course. There was a guy that I know who years ago lived in Los Angeles, and he worked at the Viper Room. If you know what that is, that's Johnny Depp's old club.
Oh.
Big deal in L.A. for a while. This guy, when he was working at that club, he had to stop, obviously, or he was going to die. But he said he would wake up every day, and there would be a bottle of whiskey, usually Jack, and it would be on his nightstand, and he would wake up, sit up, and he would start taking swigs out of the bottle
away. That's awful.
That's alcoholism.
Yeah.
What you had is you finished one bottle. Yeah. You had a little drink every now and then. Over 2 months.
I'm 41 years old. I've never consumed an entire bottle of alcohol by myself. And I did it. And when I was pouring the last drops into my little cup, I just thought, this is it. I'm an alcoholic. I drink an entire bottle of alcohol by myself.
Texter to 314-436-7900 says, Amy's not an alcoholic. I've never seen her at a meeting. Well, it could be that she just hasn't admitted it yet.
I don't know what it is, but there's something really disconcerting and depressing about finishing a bottle of alcohol by yourself. Now I have to go to the alcohol store and get another bottle.
That's the best part. New stuff.
Dude, you're as Dave Glover said to me one time, we were talking about you, and he said, this was 2 years ago, probably.
So you didn't even know me then. I wasn't in my prime.
He goes, Amy is just not a real person. I go, you know what? She's not. She's
Have you
nobody
finished
is like
a bottle
you.
Of hard liquor by yourself?
Well, I don't drink alone.
See? That's the number one sign of an alcoholic.
No, it is not.
No, it is not.
A lot of people will come home from work and have a glass of wine with dinner. That's that's normal.
So this is.
I just personally don't.
This is going to be. Now, this is going to be such a weird thing because I think Kelly Ripa, who is beautiful and looks very young, I think she has an eating disorder. She posted what she eats in a day. And she goes, well, I don't eat my first chewing food until dinner.
She
calls it chewing food, which sounds like disordered eating. But anyway, she said she stopped drinking and gained 12 pounds. And I get it because to me, I used to like sit there like and crave sweets after dinner. Right?
Yeah.
Like you want a dessert.
That's pretty common.
But I found that like a little bit of like tequila and club soda is such a nice little sipper. To me, it feels like a dessert.
That's okay.
So that's why I have it, like, and I just pour very little, right? And I'm doing this, obviously, like, while training and running, so I'm, like, waking up at 5 in the morning and running, so no, I'm not getting plastered.
No.
Feel weird to finish the bottle all by yourself, and now I have to go in by myself and buy a bottle and be like, this is just for me.
Well, I've never finished by myself a bottle of
hard
alcohol.
Liquor. Yeah.
I've also never finished an entire thing of ChapStick. I always lose them.
Why is that?
I lose them.
Has anyone seen the bottom of a ChapStick?
Never. Never once. I mean, it's the same concept as deodorant. You know, you keep turning the thing until it's over. I've never gotten to the bottom of a ChapStick.
Do you use ChapStick or do you use Carmex?
Burt's Bees.
I love Burt's. I use Burt's Bees.
I don't like the carcinogens in the Carmex or whatever it is.
Yeah, I like Burt's Bees. Carmex is classic, tastes like gasoline. But the classic Carmex does. And remember the Carmex that came in the tub that you had to stick your finger in?
Yeah, that was gross.
That is gross.
And people would share it?
Oh, that's
it's
the
disgusting.
Kind that Dusty used in Three Amigos.
That's right. Lip balm? Go watch the Three Amigos. Texter wants to know if you drank the bottle hiding in a closet.
No, but I live in a studio apartment, which is a big closet.
Okay, so...
And there's no one to hide from.
I suppose if you were hiding it from somebody, then that's a problem. Yeah.
And I went through way more bottles of club soda than I did tequila.
And let me tell you, I have, this is, alcoholism can manifest in many forms.
Yeah.
And I knew somebody else who had a real problem.
Yeah.
And I had been out with him before and I said, how did this happen? Like, where did you, you know, he seemed fine. And he said, I developed a taste for whiskey. And it got so bad that at any point he had to have airplane bottles of whiskey in his pockets.
That's awful.
Yeah.
See, that's why I'm afraid. I don't want to become an alcoholic.
This texter says, I drink a liter and a half bottle of wine every night. Oh, no, you do not.
You can't do that.
That's not true. I don't believe that.
Is that one of your girlfriends?
No, it's a texter to the show from a 636.
That's a lot of wine. Is a normal bottle a liter and a half?
I don't think so. I think it's like 750 mils.
What is milliliters?
Milliliters,
okay,
yeah.
I got it.
Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji. Talk to us. 314-436-7900 on KMOX.
This is the time when the Metrolink originated at the airport, and my wife and I and kids would take it down to Union Station and have an awesome day. And on the way back, we would surf in the car, standing up, rocking back and forth. Thank goodness it never got extended to West County. St. Charles doesn't need the bum line.
Wait, what?
He's not a fan of the Metro anymore.
Oh, the Metro
Link.
Link?
Yeah.
But he would surf like they would pretend to surf?
Like standing in the middle of the train.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do that at the airport if it's not crowded on those little, not our airport, we don't have it, but on the airport trams. The airport trams, like in Denver and Dallas.
Oh, where it takes you from parking or from the terminal to the
terminal. Yeah.
Okay.
Those are a little rocky. You can surf on those. I will say the one time when I was a kid, when we first got the Metrolink, it's in the 90s, my grandparents took us to ride on it because they would do things like that. They also took us to watch. They go, you want to go ice skating? And we said yes. And what I didn't realize is they took us to the St. Peter's Recplex to watch the ice skaters as little kids. They would take us.
You thought you were going to get to?
Yes. We thought
That's
we were going
awful.
To get to ice skate. And they said, oh, no, we're going to watch the ice skaters. So we sat there as little kids watching the other kids ice skate. But they also took us on the Metrolink because they're like, oh, let's go on this new thing. And I sat down and I don't know. My sister and I sat down in seats and a guy next to us told us about how. Dude. Now, remember, I'm like nine. How he had invested in these brothels in Thailand and how they were very lucrative. And if we ever went to Thailand, that we could do very well there. So that was my nine-year-old experience on the Metrolink, being recruited for a brothel in Thailand.
I don't think you'd do well in a brothel.
Well, now I'm 41.
Well, you wouldn't have done well at any age, really. And I don't think that's really an insult to say that you would not have done well at a brothel.
I know. I'm like, what? Yeah. Whatever, Ron.
Yes, I would. A texter says, if you call a liquor store an alcohol store, you're not an alcoholic.
We have a voice message from Lisa on the Odyssey app for Amy.
Amy, you're not an alcoholic. It doesn't matter how many drinks you have or in what time frame. It matters what happens to you when you drink. I'm a recovering alcoholic of over 38 years, and God bless you, but you're not an alcoholic.
That's right.
Well,
thank you for calling on. Congratulations on your recovery. That is very really
yes.
admirable, because that would be so difficult.
Amy has never woken up on the lawn.
It's just because, like, if you are, I always say, like, the good kids, like the innocent kids, when stuff goes south, they're the ones that get in trouble because they don't know how to get out of it. They don't recognize signs of, like, bad things. I don't know how to commit crime. I'd be a bad criminal. I don't know how to commit tax fraud. So I don't know if I was an alcoholic. What if I accidentally became one? I don't want to do that.
You know, I was a good kid when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
True. You about made a... You made a face like, yeah, okay.
This is 100% what I thought. I was about to say, oh, yeah. And then I remembered that you dressed up as a Christmas tree
for Halloween.
And that's adorable.
Well, the only time I ever got in trouble in grade school, it happened once in grade school. And it wasn't my fault. We were in music class.
Yeah.
And we were singing a song. And a kid next to me was fudging the words up. And he was making fun of the song. And all I did was laugh at him. And we both got in trouble. That's not fair.
That's not fair.
But it was funny. So
that's also super on brand for you. That's what you would do now.
Yeah. Here's a message that Amy should check out the song Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off.
Oh. I don't think so.
It's a country song.
Have you ever read that book, Tequila Mockingbird? I love that
it
book.
Is,
had nothing to do with alcohol, though.
It is 12:36, and I'm wondering if we could just go home early.
I think we can play music.
We want to go, I want to go home early. Just let's just play music for the rest of the hour.
What? Oh, you know what we could do?
And then I could go home and get some chewing food.
We could just play a clip from the way you closed out the show 2 days ago for 17 minutes. We love you. Keep listening. We'll be back tomorrow. You can listen on the Odyssey app.
And we love you.
Because we love you.
Right. We had the mayor in studio.
We did.
Mayor Tashara Jones visited with us, was kind enough to give us a couple of segments. We're had her for almost a half hour, and we addressed a number of the issues in the city of St. Louis, primarily, and we started with the police takeover or the potential police takeover of the or by the state of Missouri. Mike Kehoe, a lot of Republican legislators want the state of Missouri to take over the police department here in the city of St. Louis, and she is not really in favor of that.
First, I want to address his comments when he talked about the current status quo is unacceptable, and also remind him of who hired the police chief. I did. I want to know who the status quo is. A 42% reduction in homicides is not status quo. A 24% reduction in overall violent crime is not status quo. Billions of dollars in investment in our city over the last 4 years and into the foreseeable future is not status quo.
So I said this earlier and I'll reiterate it. Ultimately, bottom line, I don't really care who's in control of what, as long as things are good for people, right? If the city is in good shape, if the police department is in good shape, doing its job, has the resources it needs, I don't really care who is in charge. Ideally, I would like for local control to belong, local elements to be under local control. So I would prefer if the police department was in city control. What I think I'm a little nervous about, or would be nervous about, is if the state takes over, it's ruining, or the potential it ruins, momentum that's already been started, and things like improving crime downtown. You know, we have a new police chief who appears to know what he's doing. We have a prosecutor in the city who also appears to know what he's doing, and I don't know if we should mess with that. As long as things are heading in the right direction, it's almost like trying to fix a problem that's already in the process of being fixed.
Yeah, I honestly, Ron, I don't know. I don't have strong feelings about who should run the police department. That does not mean that I don't have strong feelings that I'm frustrated with the city of St. Louis, frustrated with crime, hopeful that the numbers continue to drop and that we do start to feel safer and we just see more people in the city of St. Louis. I know Kansas City had its highest homicide rate last year. It's run by the state. The state took over the police department in Kansas City, the only major city that does not control its own police department. I also know Kansas City is growing in business and residents and has a lot of plus sides. And so I know what my point is. The state takeover of a police department is not a panacea. It does not mean that I'm not even currently frustrated, that I don't think the administration now could be doing more. You know, and I get it. I don't have an exact answer for which is better. I'm glad we have Gabe Gore, because not having a circuit attorney is so detrimental. Not having a circuit attorney who prosecutes crime is so detrimental to a city, because like I've said over and over, to deter crime, you need a police presence. You need certainty that you're going to get caught, and you need immediacy that you're going to face some kind of punishment. And if you don't have a circuit attorney, there's no punishment for the crime. So
right.
I'm glad that we've got Gabe Gore, but he has a big hole to dig out of. You know, Kim Gardner set that office way back. It also, there's perception among residents in St. Louis County and St. Louis City, but there's also a perception within, you know, criminals in downtown St. Louis. Why do we know this? Because we know criminals are coming from other parts, coming from outside of the city of St. Louis to cause trouble downtown. They're going to drive their cars on Wash Ave. They're going to shoot fireworks and guns on 4th of July, because even the perception within these small groups of criminals has to change as well. They got to know, we're going to get caught.
Here's what I would say to the state. if they can show me with data, with numbers, and in writing specifically, precisely what they are going to do to offer more resources to the police department or to the city to improve the situation that already mm-hmm. seems to be improving, if they can make it increase exponentially by doing whatever they say they're going mm-hmm. to do, all right, I'm willing to listen, but you got to show me. You have to show me that what your plan is far and away better than what the city is currently doing right now.
Okay, I could be wrong here. We'd love to hear from you, 314-436-7900. What I'm about to say is ridiculous. It's not going to happen. Well, yeah, it's not possible. I get it. I'm just saying out of frustration that if I could trade, okay, the city gets to maintain its police department, control of police department, so I would reject a state takeover. I could also send back all the money that we got from the Rams settlement and just get the Rams back. I would do that in a heartbeat because having an NFL team and the economy, yeah. Do you know what? But I mean, as silly as it is, having an NFL team downtown does help drive people downtown, and it drives tourist economy, and it helps put your city on the map, and it helps give you relevance. And like I said, it's such an economic boon. That, yeah, I would give all that money back and say, yeah, the city, you keep the police department. I just want an NFL team back because that would help the city, in my mind, than the other things.
Of course it does. And the reason it does is because it's an entity that continues mm-hmm. to give for years and years and years. This is a one-time payment.
Yeah.
We got a one-time payment of hundreds of millions of dollars, which is great. Mm-hmm. But to have an NFL team, which is,
if you have an NFL team, that guy's not getting shot at 4 p.m. on a Sunday afternoon
Dome. Probably not. Even though it's only, what, 8-9 games a year that will happen in that building, the fact that that it's there, mm-hmm. that the business is there, the Rams are there off, Washington Avenue would pay dividends over time. But, again, not going to happen, which really sucks. So the entire interview, we should tell you, is on the Audacy app, AUDACY. Download the app. Listen to our interview with Mayor Tashara Jones. She gave us a good amount of time today. So if you want to go back and listen to everything she had to say, you can do that. She talked about the Rams settlement money, the police takeover, the snowplow problems, because there are parts of the city that are still iced over a little bit, though that's melting now. We got warm weather here for this week, so I would imagine a lot of that is gone. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the ice, I come off Kings Highway mm-hmm. a lot of times. I'll drive different routes to work. I don't always take the same one, in case I'm being chased and followed.
Happens a lot.
But there is leaving the Central West End on Kings Highway, you get to the left two lanes to turn left onto the highway. And there are the left lane, the very left lane, there is a giant mound of iced over snow that's completely black. So it looks like the road. And with the sun coming down, I keep forgetting it's there. And I have multiple times almost. Oh. And if I hit it, it would be like crashing into it. It's not like a bump. It's higher than, it's at least eye level.
Yeah.
To my car. If I'm sitting in the car, it's eye level. And it's just this big block of gray ice that's sitting there. That's super dangerous. And I can't believe nobody has crashed into it yet. Mm. It's wild.
Yeah, that we know of. I did not get to ask the mayor if she almost fell walking into the building. Because I will say, it bothers me, the school that's in this building, that those moms and the little toddlers, the little kiddos with
their knit hats
are parking in the middle of Olive and forced to walk across 10, 12 feet of ice and snow that's hardened over and bumpy. And I hate seeing that. And they're so cute and they're just trying not to fall. It's been 25 days. Why is that strip not
I don't know,
cleaned
dude.
Off?
This text message says, you are vastly overvaluing the NFL. It's fantastic not having an NFL team.
What?
No, it is not. That is, okay.
Did
look,
Stan Kroenke write
let
that?
Me just, it has to, that cannot be a serious text message. You may not like
it's
football.
It's fantastic.
It is, first of all, it is fantastic not having an NFL team. It is objectively good to have an NFL team. Objectively, this is not a subjective take. Even if you don't like football, to be an NFL city matters.
When he said, or when the texter said, you're vastly overvaluing the NFL, that's something like, okay, make your argument. Tell me why.
And then I have to hear
it. And then when he said, it's fantastic not having a team.
Yep.
No, get serious.
I'm not.
It's not fantastic not having anything.
That's stupid.
You know what I love?
We love you. Thank you for texting in. You may not be a stupid person. That's a very stupid comment. That is not. Come on, dude. It is. We talk about it all the time.
Doesn't even make sense.
The top 100 television programs aired every single year, 90 of them are NFL games. It is absolutely not overvalued.
Insane.
It couldn't be more valuable, honestly. Wow. All right. Oh,
we have St. Louis Golf Expo tickets to give away. Be the eighth caller.
Eight?
On the contest line, 314-955-1120. You can win tickets to the St. Louis Golf Expo at the St. Charles Convention Center this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Here's your chance to win today. You'll have a couple more chances tomorrow and Friday. And, of course, you have to be listening to win. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji, KMOX. Oh, yesterday we had somebody from Troy, Illinois who won. Today, Mike from Troy, Missouri has won tickets to the St. Louis Golf Expo this weekend at the St. Charles Convention Center. If you missed out, don't worry. You still have an opportunity to win tickets tomorrow and Friday right here on the Chris and Amy Show. We are on from 10 until 1 every single day during the weekday. Here you go. The person who does not like the NFL says it is overvalued has weighed back in via text message 314-436-7900. Why do you all care about pro sports so much? We can redefine our economy overnight if we direct our energy to things that are more valuable to society than pro sports. Domestic violence increases 10% on NFL game days, and football culture is oppressive. Stop relying on pro sports to give a city economic power and identity. Pro sports is a scam.
Well, thank you for texting in. I have to disagree with that, though. I know probably the domestic violence thing is true, which is awful. But when we're talking about a city and economies,
I don't know that number, and I've never heard that before.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I'm going to need some correlation evidence.
I would
on
like
that.
Some proof. Yes. But when you're talking about the economy in a city, no, pro sports is one of the most valuable things to a city, not just adding relevance and eyeballs, which is money, but actually adding actual money and tourism and restaurants and businesses and residents because people want to live there because there's a lot to do. And here's the thing. Historically speaking, you can go back all the way to the ancient Egyptians and you look at the biggest buildings in every civilization from the times before Christ to now, and you can identify what those societies and culture value and into what they poured their money and their time and their interest, which is why the Egyptians were obsessed with the afterlife, which is why you saw the pyramids. And obviously the Roman Catholic Church during the time of the Holy Roman Empire, the largest buildings were these cathedrals. And you can look at our country today, and the largest buildings are football stadiums and baseball stadiums, because that is where our economic and cultural engine is. It's just a fact.
Well,
billions and billions of dollars, and it's not irrelevant.
Let's say this. Let's say that we wiped the slate clean with the human race, and we start civilization from scratch. I imagine that we would still naturally evolve to some kind of competition, sport, something that is a big deal in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it could be, may not look anything like football or soccer or baseball or whatever. But I bet if we started from the very foundation where there was nothing, clean slate, white chalkboard, do whatever you want with it, I bet eventually we would find our way back to some kind of sport, spectator thing that everybody is watching.
Well, and also, let's just look at the city of St. Louis and what we have to offer, right? The arch, the free zoo, the museums, all of that. I love Forest Park, love Forest Park. Then you have the St. Louis Cardinals, the St. Louis Blues. And you could say, what would you give up before you gave up the St. Louis Cardinals? And those would be incredibly hard decisions, but I'm telling you what, you're going to keep the Cardinals for a long time into that conversation. You have to.
Yeah.
The Cardinals mean so much to our city. And not just economically, but there is a selfhood that comes with certain sports teams. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that sports are a religion or they're the most important thing. I'm not saying it. I am just saying with reality, there is a community and a selfhood and identity that can come with certain teams and their cities.
There's a lot of good.
A lot of good.
More good comes out of sports than doesn't. So, and we can make this argument that anything is bad.
Even keeping kids healthy and active. You like the Cardinals. You like baseball. You're going to go out and toss the ball with your dad. Like, there are ramifications that filter down to every level of society. I'm not saying it's a panacea that sports heals everything. I'm just saying the benefits of a football team or an MLB team.
The benefits of spectator sport by far better than the cost of it.
Yes.
By far. All right. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. On the Odyssey app, you can go back and listen to the entire show, the interview with Mayor Tashara Jones. It is very good. A lot there in it. So we want you to go back and listen to it. And don't forget, we are broadcasting live Friday from the Billikens Grill on the campus of St. Louis University ahead of their game against Dayton. We'll be there from 10 o'clock until 1. Come down and see us. Coming up next, though, it is the Dave Glover Show. We love you. That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Goodbye. Back tomorrow at 10.
We're the Midday Show. Yeah. If there's any time to screw up, it's the Midday Show.